much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Hey, you guys want to hear a joke? Why did they change the name of Halloween? Ah, crap, I messed up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, Halloween is fast approaching. The day when parents encourage little boys to dress like little girls and little girls to dress like whores and go door-to-door browbeating hard-working Americans into giving them free food.
It's Halloween, it's Halloween, it's time for scares, it's time for screams. It's Halloween, it's Halloween.
Certainly glad we all decided to celebrate Halloween. Last time I had this much fun, I was pinned down in a foxhole by the North Koreans.
Trick or treat, smell our feet, give us something good to eat.
And now...
Beat it, weirdos! I don't do Halloween!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, and as you just heard, the 31st of October.
What's up with that?
That would be Halloween.
I don't know how to answer that question. I know.
I have no answer for you.
I know I said this recently, but Halloween was like 2 weeks ago. How is it just now Halloween?
Oh, because of our singles party, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got dressed up. We went out there. We did it.
Checked it off our list.
Yeah, we did.
Done with Halloween.
I have another Halloween party this Saturday
you
night.
You do?
Yes. No. In November, you have a Halloween party?
Yes.
Just hoses everyone when Halloween is on a Thursday, doesn't
it? Does.
It?
It's not right.
Yeah. It's not right at all. Hey, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday morning. We got a terrific show planned for you today. But first, you know, every once in a while we'll do a story at this time on the program, and I'll say, oh, I hope there's some sort of an update. I'd like some sort of a, you know, chance to revisit that topic and find out what happened next. Well, this, my friends, is one of those stories. In fact, this is a great opportunity for the feature we do from time to time called How Does the Story End?
How does the story end? My friend, how does the story end?
All right, so let me bring you up to speed with where we were last time we left off with this story out of Australia, and then you tell me what the new news is.
Right.
The woman is not being named due to the subject matter in Australia of this story, but she is a public servant, works for the government, lives and works in Canberra, which I think, Lisa, that's the capital of Australia, maybe, I want to say?
Does the story end?
She's on a road trip to another city called Nora for work. And while there, she, and again, these details are not provided for us in the media, she either hooks up with a guy that she already knew or meets a guy. But they end up back at her hotel room, and they have what is described in the case as vigorous sex.
How does the story end?
Not yet. She gets pregnant.
In the course of the vigorous sex, a glass light fitting above the bed where they were having sex fell onto her face and injured her nose and her mouth. She also suffered psychological injuries as a result of the light fixture falling down onto her.
Okay? Wow.
So vigorous sex, like I said, she's a goer, and I love her. Well, what do you suppose she did? She sued the government because she was on a work trip and she thought they should compensate her for her injuries and psychological damage because it was in the, you know, in the course of a trip for business.
Sort of like workers' comp?
Exactly.
But doesn't it have to be work related?
Wouldn't it be the hotel?
Yeah.
Why didn't you sue the hotel?
I don't know.
Bad place for a light.
So, yeah, so it has been snaking its way through the various appeals process. She went to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal and lost. They said, no, not work-related. Then she appealed, went to the federal court in Australia, and won.
Really?
And now this week, the case was kicked upstairs yet again to the High Court, where they got to make the – that's their Supreme Court. They got to make the ultimate decision whether or not she was entitled to compensation as a result of this, what she claimed – work-related injury.
That is really far-fetched.
She's bold, isn't she?
So
take it to different levels.
It sounds to me like you've already made up your mind and you guys know how the story ends.
How does the story end?
They ruled against her but asked her out on a date.
Lisa, what do you think?
I think because you brought the story to us, she got compensation.
All right. Muggs, you got a stab at this?
I don't know where to go differentiate from Kevin or Lisa.
How do you feel in your heart, Muggs?
I think she got the settlement.
She got money. All right.
It turns out she did not get money.
Yes!
There was no suggestion that the sexual activity was work-related. But what's troubling to me is she, as the in the ruling, the court said that the activity was, quote, not an ordinary incident of an overnight stay, like showering, sleeping, eating, or returning to the place of residence from a social occasion elsewhere in the vicinity.
Sounds like she does stuff more stuff overnight than they're used to.
It does. Isn't that interesting that they make it sound like if she had slipped in the shower, for instance, or had been injured, you know, something caught in her throat while she was eating dinner, something like that, something they considered normal. Doesn't that just seem like they're just a little prissy? Like they don't want to give it up because she gave it up?
Oh, something was caught in her throat.
There's no evidence of that, Lisa.
Lisa just went, yeah.
Anyway, her attorney says she has moved on. She's disappointed with the way things have turned out, but she has moved on. And obviously, there's no place else for her to go legally. But I want more details on the vigorous sex. That a fixture comes off the wall or on her ceiling.
I want her phone number.
So.
That's how the story ends.
She got nothing. So rare. Right? This country, yes. It seems like she would have cashed in. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you're saying what I'm thinking you're saying, you better not say it because I don't want to hear it.
I don't know what you think I'm saying, but we do have a brand new internet roundup for you today.
Yay!
We have True Life Ghost Stories and Ralph the Ghostbuster. We were having a conversation in the office after the show yesterday, and he's
not just skeptical.
Right.
He hates anyone who ever thinks they've seen a ghost because they're stupid.
He's on Team Kevin. They're stupid, dumb, and absurd. The King of Mexico, as you know, is a Clipper fan. And when the Clippers played the Lakers for the opening night of the NBA, he was outside the Staples Center. It was a Laker home game. And he went outside the Staples Center and tried to talk people into becoming Clipper fans. Mm-hmm. That didn't go well. So we're going to put up a video and we're going to play some highlights of that.
No one has ever switched teams because some guy on the street comes up to him and says they should.
No, of course not.
There's a 100% failure rate built into that endeavor.
Yeah, it was a flawed plan. But don't get me wrong, I'm glad he did it because it's funny. Stan Lee will be here today.
Awesome.
Talking about Kamikaze. Asa Butterfield will be on the show talking about Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. And we've got your tickets for Thor, The Dark World. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I don't even think we mentioned that for Halloween tonight, we also have a pair of tickets to give away for a Lucha Vavoom tonight at the Mayan. How about that?
Oh, that's so good.
A phenomenal time and a great way to spend Halloween. And then also later on today, we'll hook you up with Galaxy tickets against Real Salt Lake, which is coming up this Sunday. We're in the playoffs here, you guys.
Oh, Mr. Kevin.
Poor Lapita is not going to be happy with that news.
I couldn't get her a ticket, unfortunately. She's got to talk to me on the phone.
Yeah. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph Garman.
What do you smell?
Smell that?
No.
Smell the air.
No?
Clean, fresh. This is the best. This is the best day of the year.
I don't.
Oh, I know.
Is it that James Caan comedy got canceled?
Nope.
That's not. Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Finally, we get a little respite from baseball, though the next season starts tomorrow,
I believe, as they
start playing.
Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow.
4,980 games that they have per season. But for a little while, we live in a baseball-free world, boys and girls.
It's very sad.
Very wonderful, you mean. By sad, you mean awesome.
The problem is, if you don't like it, it's SportsCenter, too. It's all of your SportsCenter, pretty much.
Well,
so
there's 400 teams playing 9,082 games.
That's true.
So they have to, you know, if they show you one hit from each team, it's 4 hours of SportsCenter.
You think maybe they cover baseball so much because the millions of fans in this country that watch SportsCenter like it and want to know about it?
Stupid, dumb, and absurd.
It's my boy Kevin right there. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. How I Met Your Mother, huge hit for CBS in its final season. So what do you do if you're CBS and one of your biggest shows is in its ninth and final season right now? Well, you spin it off. That's what you do.
Ah, sure.
Get ready for How I Met Your...
Don't say father.
Father! Boom! Boom, shakalaka!
Wow.
It'll be a spin-off about a group of friends living in New York City and one woman's quest to meet her future husband. How I Met Your Father.
Here's all I'll say.
Boom.
Here's all I'll say. If we were at the beginning before How I Met Your Mother and it was explained to us, we would probably think, please, come on, come up with a better idea. And it was really good.
It was a good show, so who knows?
Sounds bad.
I think it just sounds so lame because it says we're piggybacking on Mother. You know?
Yeah.
If you love, like I do, Will Ferrell, and you can't wait to see Anchorman 2, you're going to be happy about this news. Thursday, November 21st, put that on your calendar. That's when Ron Burgundy will sit down and be interviewed by Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
Not Will Ferrell, but Ron Burgundy.
Love it.
Will be on the set talking to Conan. And this isn't the first time that's happened. March of last year is when Ron Burgundy showed up with a lively jazz flute performance to announce that Anchorman sequel had been greenlit. So the two have a standing relationship, and Ron Burgundy will sit down across from Conan and be interviewed by him.
And by the way,
Scotch.
It's going to be one of the biggest movies of the year. It's going to be huge. I don't know anyone who's not dying to go see it, yet it's a movie they almost couldn't get made.
Yep.
It took years to finally get it made.
Sure. Well, you know, there's other more important films that need to get made, like Grudge Match.
There's no other important than Las Vegas.
I'll fight you. I'll fight me. I don't know, a little bit, I'll fight you. Yeah, we have bad blood. It's bad blood. I don't have bad blood for you. Grudge Match.
We may need Ralph to do a one-man play of Grudge Match.
And the Robin Thicke, Marvin Gaye lawsuit gets stickier today. This is the weirdest thing ever. Robin Thicke preemptively sued Marvin Gaye's family so they couldn't sue him for ripping off Marvin Gaye's song in Blurred Lines.
What did he sue them for? What? For making a song that he ripped off from 35 years ago?
That was one of the craziest things. Yeah, he sued them preemptively, trying to sue them to keep them from suing him. It didn't work, by the way, this legal strategy.
Well, that sounds like a terrible strategy. Strategy.
Right, Bugs Bunny?
Yeah,
terrible idea.
Sounds like Marvin Gaye's family is upping the ante. Now they're also suing Robin of using elements of Marvin Gaye's song After the Dance in his song Love and War.
Bitchin'.
So there will be more legal wrangling over
Let
this.
Let me, if you don't mind, Ralph, because everyone knows Blurred Lines, the Robin Thicke song, but a lot of our audience may not be familiar with Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up, which is a big number one hit from 1977. Great, great song. And if you don't know it, here's just a clip. And you tell me whether this sounds a lot like Blurred Lines.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Ralph,
thank you, Kevin.
Ralph just looked at me in anger, and that made it better. That actually made
really
it
better. Angry. I was just like,
oh, it was just, what's he doing this again for? I loved it.
Another shovel of dirt on the grave that used to hold my soul.
I'm a fan, sir. Well played.
And speaking of music news, Gianfranco Cardinal Ravisi, the Vatican's culture minister, tweeted out a sweet tribute to Lou Reed, of all people, on Tuesday. The Vatican? Wishing Lou Reed bon voyage as he goes on to the next plane of existence. Tweeted lyrics from his song Perfect Day, one of my favorites. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. What the Cardinal didn't realize is that the you in Lou's song that he wrote, Perfect Day, is all about heroin. It was about his love affair with heroin.
Maybe they did know that.
I don't think they did because the tweet was quickly deleted after someone tugged on the Cardinal's robes and went, "Hey, Cardinal, it's about smack. What do you say? I can't believe I did that. Hey, somebody deleted the tweet."
I need to tweet for the Vatican.
You should. The bishop just got sexually abused. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Anchorman, Dan Rather. Remember Dan Rather? Remember?
Sure.
Remember Diamond Dan Rather?
I don't know that he was ever named Diamond
Dan Rather. Dandy Dan?
No.
Dandy Dan Rather?
That was the most boring man alive.
Are you kidding me? What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Boring. That was awesome.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Because he interacted with crazy.
Yes.
And don't forget his sign-off for a while, Courage.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Courage at the end. That's all. 82 years old today. Actor Ron Rifkin. I'll always remember playing Arvin Sloan on Alias, remember?
Yep.
Right.
Well, he was
good on that show. 75 years old today. Director Peter Jackson, 52. Larry Mullen, drummer for U2, is 52 as well. Johnny Marr of Modern Mouse and the Smiths is 50 years old. Rob Schneider turns 49. Actor Mike O'Malley is 48 years old. Ad Rock of the Beast Boys is 47 years old. Vanilla Ice is 45 years old today. Lynn Berggren of Ace of Base. We were just talking about Ace of Base yesterday. And now Ace of Base. Lynn Berggren of Ace of Base is 43 years old today. What are you even doing over there? What's her name? Beer Mug?
His name is Beer Mug.
Take a wild shot.
He's just seen it.
We don't have any Ace of Base songs loaded up there over in the soundboard.
That's a pretty good guess. We probably don't.
I knew that.
We most likely don't.
Piper Perabo celebrates her 37th birthday today. And actress Willow Smith. Now, do we have any Whip My Hair back and forth?
We
might have.
Might be able to find that.
She, of course, a legendary artist. I think she's an actress. She's a singer-songwriter. She is a designer, clothing designer. She celebrates her 13th birthday today.
How's she doing it? That's a thing.
That's a song.
That's a song.
They should put her in a double feature with the Chinese food girl, and then we could just all go.
And Paul McCartney.
Light our lighters and have a good time. Just drop some Molly and just bone each other with some glow sticks.
Wow, that went further than I thought.
Well, it's a party.
All right.
It's a moment of party.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A lot of people have been begging me to go as Thor, obviously. You look at me. I look just like the dude in the movie. But I don't think that's going to be happening. If you are a fan of Thor and you want to be among the first to see Thor, The Dark World, November 5th at the AMC Century City 15, ahead of it opening up on Friday, November 8th, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. I think we're going to make you earn it a little bit. What's the game we're playing here this time, or do we not give that away?
Do we give that away or not? I don't know.
I think we're just looking for comic book geeks.
Yeah.
Superhero fans, probably, is good enough. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next.
Our next guest, by the way, in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, stars in the blockbuster Ender's Game movie coming out tonight. He was born in 1997, that guy that we're going to be talking to. That's how he rolls.
Yep.
Speaking of movies, Thor The Dark World is opening up a week from tomorrow. You can see it much earlier, 3 days earlier, at the AMC Century City 15, Thor The Dark World. We're giving away tickets right now. Ralph Garman joins us. You're going to once again talk to your comic book geek friends. Ralph, what are we doing?
Mjolnir!
Yeah, that's Thor's hammer.
Oh, one that's of the name
most,
of his hammer.
One of the most classic weapons all of comicdom is Thor's hammer. Maybe the most high-profile weapon.
I could see that.
But there are some others that could also be listed on that list, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at superhero comic book weapons.
Superheroes and villains, they have one thing in common. They might not see eye to eye on everything, but they need a
super weapon!
Now, Ralph Garman, please take it easy on the contestants.
It looks like you're going to be naming the weapon, and all the contestant has to do is name the superhero. And if they do, then they win tickets, and they're going to see the Thor movie.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
How about that?
How about that?
Let's start with William. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm going to name the weapon. William, you name me the superhero, okay?
Super weapon!
You're killing me.
We haven't done anything yet. How are we killing you?
It's my 10-year-old. He's asleep.
But how are we killing?
I don't understand anything you're saying.
We haven't even begun to give you your chance to win yet.
Your child's asleep and somehow it's our fault?
Let's do it.
All right.
What the hell's going on with William?
This is not going to go well.
Indestructible retractable claws. The weapon for this superhero. Indestructible retractable claws.
How dare you say you have no idea.
He just said the words, no idea.
Now why do you bother calling us?
He was going to get his kid up to do it. That's why.
Hang up on yourself, William.
Retractable claws? You got nothing for that? You can't think of any superhero that has retractable claws.
Retractable claws.
You've never seen a television commercial, have you?
Or a movie, apparently.
I only listen to you guys.
Don't anymore, please.
That would be Wolverine. The Wolverine.
You've heard of Wolverine.
No, that's not a superhero. He's half human. Come on.
Oh,
oh
dear God.
Please get rid of this person before I go through the phone.
He's gone. He's his dad right there, that guy. All right, let's go to Steven. Maybe he'll do a little better. Hi, Steven.
What's happening?
Steven.
Oh, you're killing me.
Here's your super weapon, Steven. You're going to play the thing?
Super. Yeah. Oh,
weapon.
Sure.
Yeah. Super weapon! There we go. An energy-emitting ring fueled by the wearer's willpower. What superhero uses that weapon? An energy-emitting ring fueled by the wearer's willpower.
Here's a hint. It's stupid.
Shut up, Kevin.
A ring.
A ring! What superhero uses a ring? Who are these people?
I'm getting mad again.
Are you effing kidding me?
So did we just not screen at all?
The Green Lantern uses a ring.
Oh, he's like the weakest superhero of them all, though.
No, you're the weakest superhero of all. You dumb F, hang up. How do you not know the Green Lantern ring?
Take it easy.
No, seriously.
Not everybody knows that.
Anybody who has any passing knowledge of superheroes would know about Green Lantern's ring.
Yeah, you would think. We did sell that way if you were a fan of superheroes.
Did you know about the Green Lantern's ring?
Yes.
And don't know anything about superheroes.
Because I find it stupid, but yeah.
I think this is going great.
Ruben is next. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, good morning, party people.
Oh, I'm just going to dumb it down. I'm just going to practically give them away. Here you go. A shield. What superhero uses a shield?
Captain America.
There you go. There you go.
We got a winner.
There you go.
All right, we're on a roll, guys. We're turning this ship around.
Oh, these people.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, what do you do, party people?
Here you go, Frank.
Hello.
What female superhero uses a metallic rope that compels anyone to tell the truth?
That would be Wonder Woman.
That's right. Just take your tickets and get out of my sight. There you go.
You can't be mad at the people who get them right, Ralph.
Shut up. I hate this game. I hate these people. Nobody knows anything about anything.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Are you a comic book fan, Tony?
You're killing me, he said.
Are you a comic book fan?
Yeah, I'm a comic book nerd.
All right. Here's one that a real comic book fan will get.
Okay.
A blind man's cane that turns into a billy club.
A dirtle.
Thank you. Thank
Super
you.
Woman.
Thank Nicely you for done. Making for restoring my faith in humanity.
Got a couple more pairs of passes for Thor: The Dark World ahead of an opening next Friday. Who's next? Clint. Hello.
Hey, Daredevil was pretty tough.
Yeah, but he got it because he's a real comic book fan. What are you,
That's
Clint?
True. I got them all. I got them all besides Daredevil.
All right, how about this one? A metallic board that can be used to hang 10 or attack
Silver
enemies.
Silver Surfer.
There
Nicely
you go.
Done.
Well done. You're going to see Thor.
Things are turning around, Ralph.
Finally, we get some real people.
I think we
only
have one pair left, though. All right, let's go to Adrian. Hi there.
Hey, party people.
You guys nope. Upset?
Hello.
I don't have a good feeling about Adrian. I just don't, but we'll try it. A hellfire enchanted chain that's wielded from a satanic motorcycle.
Writer.
Ooh, you're on the right path. You're halfway there. Just need the first half.
Writer. Something writer.
Ooh.
Ghost Rider.
Got it!
Woo!
Such relief to be done with that.
Turned it around.
Woo!
I was just going to start going with bows and arrows with Green Arrow. I'm going to start just slapping tickets in people's hands.
Thanks for playing the game.
Super Weapon!
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Stefan. Hey, happy Halloween to you guys. I think that Halloween Spook should be played in its entirety at the top and bottom of every hour on today's show. Partly because it's awesome and partly because it drives Kevin nuts. And seriously, what's more fun than driving Kevin nuts except for baby firing beer mug?
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Yeah.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
You got lucky this hour, Kevin,
because
our guest came through.
Yes! That's the best ending to that song ever.
That's about the length you want Halloween Spooks
That's
to be.
That's it.
Hey, it's Halloween. We'll revisit because then we have to put it away for another 11 and a half months. But we're very excited to welcome our next guest to the program. Ender's Game is a movie that sci-fi fans have been hoping would be made for a long, long time. And it is finally here starting at 8 o'clock tonight. It's going to be a big movie this weekend. And Asa Butterfield is Ender from Ender's Game. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Asa.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, there you are. We are good. What's up to you as well? Are you in Britain right now?
I'm in London, yeah.
Yeah. I know that you spent a little bit of time in Southern California lately. I saw from your Twitter, it looked like you guys had a lot of fun going down to Universal and doing Conan and stuff. How was it for you?
No, it was a lot of fun, yeah. It was great to be able to share the film with people who were really excited to see it, and we had so much fun at the premiere as well. And yeah, it's great to finally be able to bring it out and share it with the world.
A lot of times when a science fiction movie is being made, you have fans, serious hardcore fans of the source material, in this case the stories in the books from Mr. Card. Do people come up to you all the time and talk about the way you made the adaptation of the movie, changes that you had to make? Do you ever run into people who are, you know, they're mad at you because it's not exactly the same as they would have done it? You know how the sci-fi folks can be.
Yeah, no, I do. And, you can never please anyone, no matter how good the film is. And Gavin, the director, who also was one who adapted the book to the screenplay, did a great job in retaining all of the important information from the novel and then transferring it in a way that was feasible and practical and on camera.
Tell us about working with this cast. You got Harrison Ford, you got Abigail Breslin, you got Ben Kingsley, you got Viola Davis. I mean, it's crazy how good that cast is.
No, you're right. And it was really exciting for me. I'm a massive science fiction fan myself, so working with Harrison Ford was really, really exciting for me, and I was a bit intimidated, I think, as anyone would be,
yeah.
Working with Harrison Ford. But what I found with Harrison is how he makes you feel so comfortable on set, and he really brings the best out of you. And there was loads of kids in the cast, and so whenever Harrison or Sir Ben came on set, we're like, everyone, shopping up.
I think the amazing thing for a guy like Harrison Ford must be, even though he's in his 70s now, is that he will always have young fans. I mean, you're what, 16 years old, Asa? But I mean, 5-year-olds see the Star Wars movies and fall in love with Han Solo. So I bet he's always going to be one of those guys that everybody's excited to get a chance to meet.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. And especially in the science fiction world, he is probably one of, if not the biggest name, and so to be able to star with him in a sci-fi film at such a young age as well, I've really been fortunate. And,
we have a clip.
Such a great time.
Sorry to interrupt. We have a clip from the movie. This is Harrison Ford's character asking your character if you've got what it takes to lead.
Top test scores in class, highest battle room ratings, but you have a habit of upsetting your commander.
Find it hard to respect someone just because they outrank me, sir.
You don't like taking orders from Bonzo?
No, sir.
Perhaps you'd prefer to give them yourself.
Sir.
How'd you like to lead your own army? Dragon Army.
Sir, I've never heard of a Dragon Army.
We discontinued the name 4 years ago. No Dragon Army ever won a battle.
Then why not a new name, sir?
Because we already have the uniforms.
Was there ever a time when Harrison Ford was talking and you said, "What? I can't. Can you speak up? I can't hear you."
Not off camera.
He just seems like a mumbler.
I guess he's got that tone. I wouldn't call it mumbly. I'd call it grumbling.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
So I
couldn't actually recognize my voice in that.
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting. Oh, how about that? So the character that you play is really, I mean, he's the most powerful kid in the universe, right? I mean, the fate of humanity rests on his shoulders. So does that make him kind of a dick? Because I would think that that would screw with your head to be in a position like that. As you know, I'm talking about being in the character's mind now.
Yeah, no, Ender is definitely, or he's probably the most complex character I've played, and the amount of thought that goes into every single one of his actions is huge. And whenever you're playing a character who is hyper intelligent and the way he thinks is unlike anyone else on the planet, it's really interesting because you have to start thinking in that way when you're on camera. And I'm not saying that I'm incredibly smart myself. I just say I'm average, but it was interesting for me to be able to go into it, and then having the source material is always so helpful in trying to get ideas and clues as to what makes your character tick.
Right. This is sort of a weird opening. It's not tomorrow like all movies. It's tonight at 8 o'clock. I think you can see it on theaters and IMAX. So they're releasing it tonight at 8, which is a little different than normal.
The preview screenings tonight, yeah.
Well, is this, as we let you go, Asa, is this the type of movie that you think will and can be turned into a franchise? And is that something you would welcome? You'd like to come back and play Ender again?
I think so, yeah. I think the prospect of sequels are always exciting. But at the moment, we just want to give all of our attention to this and try and get it to spread the word about it and make it do as well as it possibly can. And the better it does, the more likely there is a chance of there being a sequel. So
right.
That's what we're focused on.
Consider the word has been spread. Thanks to your visit to the Kevin and Bean Show today. We wish you good luck with the film. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, in about 10 minutes or so, Ralph Garman is going to poop on your Halloween. If you've ever, ever, ever seen a ghost, Ralph hates you. So
we should have no calls. We should have no calls because no one has ever seen a ghost.
Well, people claim they have.
Yeah, but those people are lying. Well, liars who lie.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 if you've seen a ghost. But for real.
There will be no
we
calls.
We mean it. We're not just kidding
if we
around.
Make that the criteria.
Oh,
we will
I
get
was
no
sleeping
calls.
And I saw something. I wasn't
sure. Out of the
corner
of my eye, I saw someone in my closet. I turned around. There was no one there. You know what? Because there was no one there to begin with.
So if you saw something that you are convinced was a ghost and there's no other explanation, we want to hear your story. Coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
This is good news. A new U2 single will be released on November the 29th.
Yay!
That's Record Store Day, baby. Record
tell
Store
me.
Day. Finally, Record Store Day.
Now,
they get to attribute that
open
one
up a blog.
That one guy who has that one record store left. That one guy, he's celebrating.
This, by the way, is they just started this a couple years ago. This is the second Record Store Day of the year. The first one, the OG, is still back in April. And then they started doing another one the day after Thanksgiving every year. So this is the second of two. So everybody who ignored it the first time around can ignore it the second time around, too.
It is Black Friday as well as Record Store
Day. Too much information!
10,000 copies will be pressed of a 10-inch vinyl single of Ordinary Love. We played a little bit of that from the upcoming soundtrack to the film Mandela.
Sounded good.
Long Walk to Freedom, yeah. Then the flip side will be a newly recorded version of Breathe, which of course was on U2's No Line on the Horizon album from 2009. So if you're a U2 completist and you want to have everything, then you're going to want to pick up one of these vinyl singles of their brand new song. Only 10,000 copies will be made. So it's going to go to all those record stores.
Every single one of them.
Every one of those record stores will have 5,000 copies if there's 10,000 copies made. So you just make sure you find one of those two stores.
We did talk to a record store owner about Record Store Day, and that
he
is where
invented it. This guy invented it.
That's where we got
open up a blog.
Right. That's where we got that. He was a complete dick, and then he went
learned
under
something.
Right after. We were so happy.
That's right. The store went out of business. That's what you get for being a dick. Tori Spelling has a new book out.
All right.
Finally, we get to learn everything we wanted to know about Tori Spelling.
Fiction or nonfiction?
It's nonfiction. It's a story of her illustrious life and career. So she's doing a lot of press. And one of the things she revealed during an interview this week was that she and her husband, Dean McDermott, have had a sex tape stolen. They did a sex tape and then it was stolen from their laptop.
Hmm.
Yeah. Smell that? Smell that? Chance to make a few bucks?
Yeah. Not
yeah.
buying it.
Of all the sex tape to watch,
yep,
too,
nope.
I don't want to see that
no.
one with her freaky
so.
Softball boobs and that giant cavernous cleavage of hers, that whole weird thing she got going on there. I don't want to see any part of that. Apparently, she claims that she and her husband are practically broke.
They're always saying
what?
That, and then they always
broke.
Have new shows.
Practically broke, Lisa, have no money.
Enough with that.
And Candy, her mom, just sits up there in the ivory tower and just throws her nickels, won't give her a dime.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to see that sex tape, by the way.
Neither.
Ali Lohan, younger sister of Lindsay. This girl's got problems. You think Lindsay's got problems? This girl's got problems. Because she's so desperate to be her sister and to be famous that she would just anything. Just wait for her sex tape any minute now. That's what I'm thinking. She started off being a model. She wanted to be a model. Remember that when she lost a ton of weight and got all skeletal and just was hideous? Well, that wasn't working out. So she claims she's tired of modeling now. Well, I can tell all the time she spent on the runway. All those Victoria's Secret catalogs.
She must be exhausted.
She must be. You know what? I'm tired of being a movie star. I'm tired of all of those movies I make all year long.
Then me too.
She is now moving on to... What do you think? What's her next step?
Singing?
Yes, Lisa. Well done.
All right.
She's recording a new album.
She had one, right?
Wow, you know much more about Ali Lohan than I do. I if that's the case, it got past me.
She did. I don't know.
She I
could be wrong.
She had...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
I'm going to burn that clip to the ground. New album, she says, will sound like a cross between Miley Cyrus and Lana Del Rey. I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
We'll be the judge.
Obviously.
Her surprise, surprise, her mother, Dina, will be managing her musical career.
Oh, so my God.
We got that going for us. Speaking of momagers, Kendall Jenner, daughter of Kris Jenner, celebrated her 18th birthday last Tuesday.
Finally. It's porn time.
Porn time for Kendall. Porn time for Kendall, by the way, should be the name of the video. How did she celebrate? Well, of course, nothing small. Not a party with family and friends. Not a buyout of a Chuck E. Cheese's.
Sure.
No, she.
How'd they do it?
She rented out the entire Six Flags Magic Mountain theme park in Valencia, California, to celebrate her party in. Because really, you need an entire theme park to have a party.
Well, you can't go. You can't enjoy it if other people are there, Ralph.
No, Bean, that can't happen. So, the entire park was rented out. Here's the good news about the Kardashian clan: the way they spend money.
Yeah, it's gonna be gone soon.
They're gonna be broke. They're gonna be Tory Spelling broke in a short period of time. And I look forward to that. And Bean, you'll be excited about this news. Spike Lee has announced he is directing an upcoming movie about record mogul Neil Bogart. This is a fascinating story.
That's where Don't Bogart That Joint came from.
No, it does not, sir. Not even close. Neil Bogart was the power behind Casablanca Records, which no longer exists, but in its heyday was a monster label.
Open up a blog.
Neil Bogart was the king of the disco record. He also discovered Curtis Mayfield, Bill Withers, Gladys Knight, Donna Summer, The Village People.
Wow.
Kiss was on the Casablanca label at the beginning of their career. He was a monster mover and shaker in the recording business. And then he died at the age of 39 in 1982.
Huh.
Fascinating story. Spike Lee directing and reportedly Justin Timberlake to star.
Wow, that's a great choice.
All right.
So if you're interested in the history of the recording industry, this would be the movie for you.
There was a book, very popular book that came out a few years ago, The History of Casablanca Records, who went through all that period of all this was when the record company was at its most hedonistic, where it was all strippers and cocaine.
Yeah.
And just, they could not spend money fast enough. They were making so much money. But a fascinating story, a fascinating dude. But if you're interested, definitely check that out. But the movie sounds great.
Imagine living in the era where just you're partying with Kiss and Donna Summer and just doing blow. And
that's weird.
Village People are just banging everybody. Cops and Indians banging in the office. And it's just nuts.
It was crazy what the 70s. I don't think people have any idea how crazy the 70s were in Los Angeles in the record business.
And those people were all talented. They were like insane, talented, crazy, wonderful monsters. And now we got Ali Lohan making an album. That's the world we live in now. We got Chinese food and Ali Lohan. There's your music industry.
That is pretty strong.
There's your Messiah. There's your golden calf. How do you like me now? Today's celebrity birthdays. Anchorman Dan Rather is 82 years old today. Actor Ron Rifkin celebrates his 75th birthday. Peter Jackson's 52. Larry Mullen, we were just talking about U2. And their new single, he's 52 years old today. You all right?
Sorry. Just on the wheels of steel. My bad.
Actor Dermot Mulroney is 50. Rob Schneider's 49 years old. Actor Mike O'Malley celebrates his 48th birthday. Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys is 47. Vanilla Ice is 45 years old today. Piper Perabo is 37. Eddie K. Thomas from the American Pie movies is 33. Actress, singer Willow Smith is 13. And Lynn Berggren of Ace of Base. Uh-huh. Yeah.
true.
It is.
That is true. That's a very true statement.
Oh, did I used to shake my ass to that song.
I'm going to say no.
Lynn
you didn't.
Berggren is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This could be very scary, Ralph. These people saw ghosts. You know?
Dean, you have the appropriate music for this, or I don't think we thought about this.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find a little something. Look, here my whole thing. This is Bean speaking.
Yeah.
I want to be alive on the Earth when the aliens come. I want all UFOs to be for reals.
Yes.
And I am always frustrated by the people who are the eyewitnesses to those who don't know what it is. It is, in fact, an unidentified flying object. They have no evidence to support the fact that it's from another planet, but they're convinced it's an alien. They're
right.
All convinced it's aliens because they don't know what it is.
Right.
That's what's going on, you think, with these people and their ghost stories. Is that something happens, they can't identify it, therefore it must be a spirit from another world, right?
Of course, yes. Look, I want ghosts to be real. I would love it if the people that I loved and miss who have gone to the other side could come back and visit me and I could spend some time with them and have some sort of contact with them. Sadly, that doesn't happen ever.
We started having this conversation yesterday after the show, and we all told our ghost stories, and Ralph just denied all of them.
Yes,
matter what. You know what I did? I shone the harsh light of reality on them. That was the problem.
Because he is
Ralph Garman.
Ghostbuster!
Yeah. What I did was I opened up the curtains, let some sunlight in on your BS, and then your story just went...
Well, let's see, because we have some listeners on the phone, Ralph, who are convinced that they saw real-life ghosts. And we're going to start
with... a giant 50-foot monster from Tokyo?
It might be, man. You don't know. You don't know, man. We're going to start with a caller named Ralph, who is on line one. So
I'm ashamed,
you should like him.
I'm ashamed he shares my name.
How do you know it's not real? How do you know? You haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
Ralph?
Kevin, Dean, Lisa.
Good morning.
Now, check it, Ralph. I saw a black person go through a door one morning.
Say again?
A black person walk through a door one morning?
I don't think that's a ghost.
No, it wasn't a black person.
You saw what?
Not a black person. I saw a black fairy go through a door in the morning.
A black fairy? What are you saying? A black... What did you see walking? What was black?
It was a black figure.
A figure. Figure.
He's
saying
figure. What the hell do you want me to tell you?
Was it an English teacher?
Was it a diction coach?
Elisa. Coming down hard on Ralph.
All right, you're staring at the door, and you saw a black figure walk through it?
Yeah, no, my door was open, and I was looking at my brother's room, and I was looking at his door, and I saw a black figure just go through the door. I went to go check the door. He was still there. There was no black figure, no black person inside. We ended up checking the records of the house. We ended up finding someone ended up committing suicide around 2 years
ago. Yeah, yeah. Okay. 10 years ago, yeah. Someone died.
Jeez, look at the black things that go across walls and doors. Oh, maybe a shadow?
Ralph Garman.
Ghostbuster!
All right. How about...
He may not have been a good start.
You know, if you go in that room and the black figure is there drinking a cup of coffee and goes, hey, what's up? Then you've seen a ghost. But somebody out of the corner of your eye where it just flashed across the doorway and you go there and there's nothing there, that's not a ghost. It's that you seeing things.
I think, Ralph Ghostbuster, you're going to change your tune when you hear from Lucy on line two. I think she's going to convince you.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
So you saw a ghost?
Yes,
I did. Good luck with this.
So I was at my friend's house, and we were talking, and I turned to look at her bookcase, and we were still talking about her books or movies or whatnot, and I could feel her there, so I just kept talking, and then when I was like, Michelle, and I turned around, I saw someone standing next to me wearing all white, and then I turned around to look for her, because obviously that wasn't her, and it just kind of walked away, disappeared. But I could feel someone there.
You felt
and
something,
I could
huh?
Sense it.
Wow, you sensed it.
That's gonna fly.
Well, if you sensed it, it must be real then, because the senses are never fooled.
Well, you know, when you feel someone standing next to you, that's what I felt. So that's why I kept talking.
So you turned and full on and looked and saw a figure dressed in white staring right there in front of you.
Yes.
What say you,
Ralph? This wasn't out of the corner of your eye. You saw something and then you turned and it was gone?
No, I completely turned around and looked at them and they were all just in white.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, I didn't find this out till later, but my friend had told me like an older couple had lived in that house.
Suicide and
then
murdered
someone
each other.
Had died in that room, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what drugs you were on that night, Lucy, but you didn't see that.
How do you know she didn't see that?
Because they don't exist.
Okay.
That's how I know.
Ralph Garman.
Garmin.
Ghostbusters.
Because science. That's how. That's why. Because now, science.
I have to just ask.
Because science
question.
Exists.
And then we're going to take a break and come back with some more calls because this is fun. But I have to ask a question. Is this a case where just because it's never happened to you, it can't have happened to anyone, Ralph? Isn't that what's going on here?
It's because no one with any legitimacy has ever been able to document it. It's always somebody, late at night, I was half asleep, and I saw a white figure next to a bookcase. It's like, okay, did anyone else see that? Did you get a picture of it? Did anything happen of any sort
Ralph,
of evidence?
Ghosts don't pose for pictures. What's wrong with you?
You know why? Because they're not real!
All right, so the next round of calls, you're really going to have to bring it. I mean, it's going to have to be definitive. Like, there's no other possible explanation, but you really did see a ghost, right? That's what we're looking for.
I want a ghost to go in the kitchen and get a cup of coffee and bring it to you. And it's floating through the air, and you're like, holy crap, how'd that happen? And then they just gently put in your hands. Then a ghost has visited you. Not, I saw in the window there was a red eye. No, it was a laser pointer from the asshole next door.
What about the black guy that the other dude saw in the house? All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph Garmin.
Ghostbuster.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Halloween day.
If you've seen Godzilla, call now.
No, actually, we're looking for people who have actually seen real-life ghosts. And I know we have a lot of people who have. Kevin, you've told a terrifying story on the air a number of times over the years. About a ghost that may have or may not have happened in your own home, right?
My 2-year-old daughter, dark, putting her to bed,
right.
And she said, Daddy, who's that? And she was looking over in the corner of the room, and I looked over, and at that point I thought, either I'm not seeing a ghost, or my kid is crazy.
Oh, creepy.
One of the two.
Well, you know the thing about 2-year-olds, they don't have imaginations, and they don't see, pretend,
I was able
that's
to,
the one thing they don't do, Kevin.
I was able to blow it off, because,
no,
of course.
No, it was a ghost. No, you had a ghost.
It was a little freaky.
No, it was a ghost.
Because it was either a ghost or my kid was crazy. One of the two.
Or it is kind a 2-year-old with an imagination who's seeing
who's that?
An invisible friend.
Who's that?
So any child who ever talked to a stuffed animal or saw an imaginary friend saw a ghost.
Ralph Garmin.
Ghostbuster.
Here's the thing. Whatever the most implausible, real answer is,
it's that.
It's that before it's a ghost.
Why do we see a zebra when sometimes it's just a horse? That's what you're asking, Ralph.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Brian. He's on line 4. You wanted somebody who had a little corroboration, a ghost story maybe where there were some other witnesses. They saw it too. I think Brian may be your man.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, it's Ryan, but yes.
Yes,
hey,
Ryan.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Ghost story.
Kevin Bean, Lisa May, Ralph, great to talk to you.
All right.
So
all right.
Essentially, back in college, we were in our dorm suite helping a friend get ready. I was standing on a chair. My friend Jose was helping him iron some pants on the table, and we were having fun, making fun of him. And I thought I fell off the chair. I just thought I lost my balance and fell off the chair.
Right.
And my roommate Jose was looking at me with this crazy look, like, how did you do that? And I said, what? He goes, and basically what should have happened was if I would have fallen off the chair, I would have fallen backwards onto the couch behind me. But I basically went straight up and came straight down. The chair was upside down, and I fell right in between the four legs. So basically it was like someone kicked out the chair that made me go straight up and come straight down, but there was no one there.
Okay.
So
and Jose didn't go and tell his friends, you'll never believe what I did to Ryan. It was awesome.
Because my other two roommates ran in from the other rooms. And they're like, what? What just happened? And Jose demonstrated. He said, this is what the chair did. And he just showed. He just.
All right, right.
So what the chair flipped around and you landed on top of the chair.
That was his story at the ER when he had to get a chair pulled out of his butthole.
I fell on it.
What do you think happened, Ryan? What do you think the cause of the chair flipping was?
Well, you know, they always talk about dorm ghosts and stuff, and we'd made fun of it. Like, we thought there was no possible way there's a dorm ghost, because at the time the college was only 30 years old.
Right.
All, you know, I could say was, I can't explain it. You know, maybe it was some sort of poltergeist experience, but it happened, and there were witnesses. So I'm not saying I saw a ghost.
No.
I'm saying something happened that I cannot explain, and there were witnesses there that can corroborate the story.
Yeah, it was a freak accident.
I believe it was a ghost. No, I think I'm with Ryan. It was a ghost.
You know, I threw a matchbook once, and it landed on its side perfectly. Doesn't mean a ghost was holding the matches.
But see, what I like about
If there was a way to physically reenact it, I would love to see someone do it.
What I like about Ryan is he's possible. Willing to just say, I don't know what happened.
That's right.
He doesn't have to jump right to ghost, and that way Ralph doesn't have to jump into business.
Ralph Garman!
Ryan, great story. Thanks so much for the call, my man. We appreciate it. All right, we only have time for a couple more. Let's go with Olivia. She's on line 5. This one's pretty crazy too, Ralph.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
What happened to you?
I saw a Confederate soldier when I used to live in Virginia.
A Confederate soldier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what
How
did it
often do?
Do
you go to Civil War reenactments?
No, I just lived in an apartment and light came on, and I saw the soldier, and it came off, and it disappeared.
What's that, an air raid siren? What's going on?
There's a ghost there now! Get out of the house!
Sorry, I'm outside waiting at the bus stop.
All right, when people
at a safari park?
When people see something like you did, Olivia, is it just something you saw for a second out of the corner of your eye, and then it was gone, or were you able to look at it long enough to see detail and whatnot?
I was looking straight in the face for about 10 seconds. I could tell he had a hat and a sword and everything, and he raised the sword and brought it back down, and he disappeared.
That's pretty cool.
What time of the day was this?
What kind of what?
What time of the day was this?
It was in the middle of the night.
Yeah, oh, that's what I thought. Hmm. That was either a lucid dream or an hallucination.
Ralph Garman!
You know, when it wasn't at noon while you were having lunch, the Confederate soldier didn't sit down and start talking about antebellum. Hang up on yourself.
Olivia.
Middle of the night. You know what I see in the middle of the night? It would make your hair stand on end in the middle of the night.
But it's not real.
But it's not real. It's just me having some acid flashbacks.
Let's do one more. Let's do Todd, because Todd actually had interaction with his ghost.
Of course he did.
All right.
Yes, he did.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Halloween.
To you, too.
You.
What happened?
This was last week. I'm a plumber in Glendale. I go on a call. This lady's water heater is out, she says, and she's getting cold water. So I go down into the basement, check it out. Everything's fine. Her husband comes to the basement door and takes a couple steps down. He goes, hey, bud, what you doing? I'm like, oh, just looking at your water heater. He says, okay, well, I got to go see ya. I get back to the shop. My boss asks me, so what was wrong with her water heater? I said, absolutely nothing. And he goes, oh, yeah, she's just kind of lonely. Ever since her husband died, I think she just wants attention. I know it was her husband.
So her husband
big old manly mustache, you know, from that I saw in the hallway of the family portrait.
I believe
me out.
So her husband.
See, this is part
I
of the
believe
problem.
It.
Her husband came all the way back just to check on what you were doing in the basement.
He's hanging out in the basement anyway.
Yeah, well, he actually died in the house.
Yeah, he drowned in the water heater.
Ah! All right, Ralph, what do you say?
I say, Todd, stop taking
acid.
Hey,
crazier things have happened in Glendale. You know this.
Look, if the figure at the top of the stairs had a mustache, you were in Glendale. It could have been a woman.
Ralph Garman.
Remember earlier today when we gave away those tickets to go see the new Thor of the Dark World movie?
Yes.
Well, the man who created Thor is going to be joining us later on in the program, the great Stan Lee on the show. Also, we got a brand new Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And producer Dave, big-time Clippers fans, tries to talk Lakers fans into coming to his side. It didn't go that well. All of that coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We put all the best viral videos of the week together in one location just for you at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. This is a terrific batch, by the way. A lot of videos up there. Really one of my favorite animal videos of all time. Did you see this one with the sea lion, Kevin?
Yes, what a bold sea lion, man. They don't care.
This is unbelievable. There are these two fishermen. They're actually filming a TV show, and they caught these huge fish that look like they got away like 50 pounds or something, right? They're standing on the boat, getting their photograph taken, and a sea lion jumps up from the side of the boat and grabs one of the fish by the tail and just
pulls it right back
just
into the water.
Just rips it back away. Like, I'll have that. Thank you.
This is my scene.
It's awesome.
It's like the biggest fish this guy has ever caught, and he doesn't even get it off the boat. Listen up.
Did you see what happened to that? He took it out of your hands. Now that is something. That's a crime.
That sounds like me, strangely.
And did you notice that there was a pelican who was acting as the spotter for the sea lion in the shot, too? It's a crazy video. You have to see it. Britney Spears was doing a round of promotion in Britain recently, and she stopped by BBC Radio 1, and somehow they talked her into doing the, I guess this is the Vincent Price part from Michael Jackson's Thriller, It's Britney, Witch.
She's crying wolf again, Sal.
If he's a wolf, why is he covered in wool?
Because he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Huh? She's right, David. He is a wolf. I should have believed you, Carrie. I feel rather sheepish.
Me too.
That would have been better had we set that up.
Had we set that up as Homeland, right?
Sesame
exactly.
Street doing Homeland.
Oh,
yeah, that's okay. Sesame Street doing Homeland, and here's Brittany.
It's Brittany, witch.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl and search for blood to terrorize your neighborhood.
She's not good.
No.
She is terrible at reading and singing, for that matter. I don't know why they decided to do this, but somebody did their own take on Bob Marley's No Women, No Cry. And they're doing it, and I don't know if this guy's really like from Saudi Arabia or someplace, or one of the countries where women aren't allowed to drive, but they make it look like he might be. And their version of the song over there is No Woman, No Drive.
Say I remember when you used to sit in the family car, but backseat over me, so safe and well, so you can make lots and lots of babies.
Yeah, that one struck me as people being funny.
Yeah, you don't think it was for real?
I don't think so. No.
Maybe so. No joke, this may be the greatest airline safety video ever. You know how unbelievably boring it is to sit through for the 1,000,000th time them telling you how to put a seatbelt on?
Yes.
Virgin America does it right. I would look forward to seeing this video if I got on their flight.
So won't you buckle your seatbelt, pull it down tight, and keep your hook in that chair until we turn off that light. Turn your electrical devices off as fast as you can.
However you do,
don't make me ask you again.
It's really well done, and they're all singing and dancing and choreography. It's super cool. We're going through the videos on this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can see them all at krock.com. I don't know how this just became uncovered, but there is a blooper reel from the original Star Wars movie. It's only a couple of minutes long, but it does show you them screwing up some lines and cracking up on set and standing around in costume. You know, it's just so weird to see them out of context like this. And here's Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker trying to get a line right.
Glad you were here to see it. Now let's get some distance before that thing goes... supernova. How do you pronounce supernova? What inflection? Supernova or supernova?
Isn't it hilarious that these bloopers are just now coming out?
Yeah, that's weird.
I love it. Saturday Night Live last weekend did a very funny parody in honor of Halloween where they said they imagined what it would be like if Wes Anderson, the director Wes Anderson from the Royal Tenenbaums and movies like that, if he had made a horror movie. And it's very funny. Edward Norton is playing Owen Wilson in this, and you get an idea of what it's like. Listen up.
It's the Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders, starring Owen Wilson as a man in danger.
Wow, what the heck? There's a bunch of crazy people standing in our yard. Hey, hon, I think we're about to get murdered.
And his terrified wife, Gwyneth Paltrow.
You don't say.
So well done.
Edward Norton doing that impression is great.
Oh. He sounds so much. He looks like Owen Wilson, too. That's Alec Baldwin, by the way, who plays the narrator in the thing. And I want this movie to be made so bad. It looks awesome. I love Halloween. I'm glad Halloween is here. But the sad thing is that once Halloween is over, that means it's November. And why that's bad is because that means it's goddamn Movember, which means we're all supposed to grow our mustaches again. They do it every year. Nick Offerman goes through the great moments in mustache history.
We begin in ancient Babylonia, where the first known portrait of a mustache was discovered. Note the horseman being pulled from his mount and pleasured to death by a horde of concubines. Chef Boyardee reveals the secret to his pasta sauce is a single strand of his lip hair in every batch.
Well, how about that? A lot of famous mustaches throughout history from the great Nick Offerman. Kevin, you're going to be very excited. Morgan Freeman here was asked. He was doing some press for Las Vegas, his awful movie that opens tomorrow.
Which you don't know because you haven't seen.
He was asked by one of the interviewers if he could read the words that are on this sheet of paper. And I think you'll see they chose well.
Sorry, I think I started that a little too early. What do you think?
And I think you can tell they chose well.
But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say? A ring-a-ding-ding. A ring-a-ding-ding. Garing ding ding. Ding ding ding. Garing ding ding.
Morgan Freeman makes everything better, except for Las Vegas. And finally, our friend Rob Delaney, the comedian that we love so much, maybe the funniest man on Twitter. Well, last night he got the Jimmy Kimmel treatment. They had senior citizens on Jimmy's show reading some of Rob Delaney's awesome tweets.
Which do you think was softer, Yoda's balls or Roy Orbison's neck waffle?
When you go in the other room, I ask your dog what you look like naked.
At Charmin, my daughter was killed by a bear yesterday. When she tried to offer it toilet paper, you son of a bitch.
Delaney is the best. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KROQ.com or KevinDeBean.com for a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show at 5 minutes to late.
Although I'm not really sure why. Hey, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Bee. Maybe that's why.
This story always confused me, and now more so than ever. Robin Thicke stole a big chunk of Marvin Gaye's song Got to Give It Up and used it in his hit Blurred Lines. Then, in a preemptive strike, in order to keep Marvin Gaye's estate from suing him, he sued them first.
For what?
Wait, so he took the song and then sued them?
Yes.
That's bizarre.
What did he sue them for? Possibly suing
Possible
him later?
Suing him.
I just don't get this.
Anyway, it didn't work. And now two of Marvin's children have sued him for copyright infringement, claiming, as I mentioned, that he stole a big chunk of Got to Give It Up to use in Blurred Lines. They also accused Robin of using elements of Marvin Gaye's song After the Dance in his song Love and War. Lawyers are lining up as we speak. It's all going to be settled in court, and everybody's going to make a big chunk of change. I mean the lawyers when I say
sure.
that. Hopefully Marvin Gaye's estate will also come out victorious. Because, first of all, the minute Robin Thicke filed a lawsuit against them, I knew that
That's
he
shaky,
was
right?
panicking because he knew that he was busted because he never got permission to use it.
Now, do you guys know both those songs?
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's close enough that it's
yes.
a ripoff?
I don't know. Let's take the empirical evidence and have a listen ourselves. I'm going to play a little taste of Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye first, okay? Great tune. And then now we're going to do is take that and lay it on top of Blurred Lines to see if they mesh up at all.
No, play the other one.
Yeah. This is both. I know. No joke.
Both at the same time.
That's the mashup. That's the mashup.
No.
That wasn't a joke, people. That was literally Got to Give It Up played on top of the instrumental chunk from Blurred Lines.
How do you not just write him a check?
You just do it.
That's
Why do you
crazy.
Pay lawyers, Robin Thicke, when you can just pay the family and save yourself at least a little bit of money because you're going to lose?
I would certainly think so.
I would go to their house in my Beetlejuice suit. And I would just apologize and just give them a big novelty publishing clearinghouse check with a big number written on it and a big I'm sorry.
And I'd bring that model with me.
On the memo line, yeah, and bring her. And then have Miley twerking you while you sign it. What a douchebag and what a loser of a case. His lawyer's got to be like, what? Really?
You want me to defend this?
Robin, you couldn't make a phone call? Couldn't ask permission? Couldn't pay a royalty? Something? Now I got to clean up your mess? Ugh. And I never let your dad on growing pains. Angry lawyer says as he walks away. U2, they are releasing a new single on November the 29th. mere month away, we're going to hear some new U2 music. This is the single Ordinary Love, which you talked about a little while ago because it was featured in the trailer for the upcoming film Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. It'll be on that soundtrack. However, you can get it as a 10-inch vinyl single on the 29th because it's Record Store Day.
Who knew?
Celebrating the lack of record stores?
Celebrating the fact that they're dead. It's like Memorial Day for record stores. It's also Black Friday, by the way, the big sales day pre-Christmas. So if you want to get that new single, only 10,000 copies will be pressed, and you're going to have to go to a record store to buy it. Well, first of all, you're going to have to find a record store, and then you're going to have to go in to buy it. But it's a good little tune, and I think it's going to be very entertaining.
Well, that's how the kids want it, though, is on a 10-inch clear vinyl.
Oh, yeah, you want the vinyl. Because the vinyl's rich. Vinyl carries all the warmth.
It's convenient for everybody.
Well, yeah, you get out your record player, you put a penny on top of the needle, and you just drop it down there on the vinyl and get that rich, rich vinyl sound.
I knew a guy once, Ralph, maybe you did too, back in the day, who had a record player in his car.
What?
Yes.
No, I didn't know any special needs people growing up.
No, there were several American models that offer them, that you could get a record player built into your car. This was before cassette tapes. That's the only way you could take your music with you, is to put a record player in your car.
That's a terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea. They did the best job they could at trying to cushion it so the needle wouldn't jump up and down and skip all over the record. And it worked better on some roads than others.
Overruled.
You can go online. You can look. You can find pictures of those cars and that setup.
Did you have one? Honestly,
no. I never did. I couldn't afford it. But I knew people who did. I knew a guy who did.
Bean just duct taped a record player to the roof of his car and ran speakers into the passenger seat. And, I can't afford it, but I think this would be the next best thing. It was his music system. And Zac Efron has channeled his addictions into golf now. In Touch magazine says he celebrated his birthday by getting together with his male friends and celebrating with 18 holes. We got 18 friends into that room. I have no idea. Today's celebrity birthdays. Willow Smith is 13 years old today. She whips her hair back and forth. That's what she does.
That happens.
She sure does that. If you could just take Whip My Hair Back and Forth and After Earth. Those two projects.
Bless you.
You would have the total sum of all the talent of the Willow of the Smith kids.
That's true.
Piper Perabo, 37 years old today. She's on that.
Dangerous Threats. I like
show.
That show. What's it called? Shoot.
Blurred.
Nope.
Blurred Terror. Shooting Stars.
Works for the CIA.
Yeah.
It's on USA.
Is it Covert Affairs?
Yes,
Covert Affairs.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good show. I can't remember the title, but it was a good show. Rob Van Winkle, he's 45 years old today. You may know him better as Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice, baby. Yeah.
I guess he's got a TV show on now where he's like living with the Amish or something. It's his latest reality show where he's experiencing that life.
Yes.
Yes and no. Thank you.
He's putting up barns.
I think that's true.
Vanilla Ice Box, it's called. Because they don't have refrigerators. They can't use electricity. Ad-Rock of the Beastie Boys is 47. Actor Mike O'Malley is 48. Rob Schneider is 49 years old. Actor Dermot Mulroney is 50. Larry Mullen, drummer for U2, is 52. Peter Jackson, also 52 years old today. And anchorman Dan Rather, he is 82 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, comic book legend Stan Lee joins us in less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. Also, in just a few minutes, we're going to give you some tickets to go to Lucha Vavoom at the Mayan. So that's coming up this hour on K-Rock.
That's so awesome, the Lucha Vavoom. You're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, shall we?
Yay!
We have an actual wheel that has on it a lot of animal stories. Killer Chinese giant hornets. Tie the tiger with the world's largest hairball. Paku, testicle-biting Scandinavian fish.
Oh, dear God.
The Belgian coked-up racing pigeons. Willie, the foul-mouthed cockatoo. The lucky dog evaded dog catchers 92 times. And the giant Iranian rats.
Wow. A lot of great stories.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think
it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
Hey, was I zoning out? Did we lose the man-faced dog or the man-faced lion or whatever it was? Is that gone? Did that not?
I think we moved the wheel.
It fell off.
I think if it doesn't land on it at some point, you just got to move on.
It never landed on that. We were so curious about that. All right, let's spin the wheel. Let's find out who we're going to be talking to today.
That was a particularly good spin. Oh, it's the Belgian coked up racing pigeons.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
I guess pigeon racing really is a thing, and it's apparently a high stakes sport in some places throughout the world. Lisa May, this is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
That a famous Belgian racing pigeon recently sold, are you ready for this? For $400,000.
What?
So it could be a stud, so it could breed new pigeons.
Really?
Yes.
So what they do is they take them away from their home to a location far away, and then they just let them go, and then they race, I guess, back to the home.
That's right. Yeah, they race hundreds of miles sometimes. I mean, people are really, really into it. It's a huge sport in a lot of the world where people place giant bets on them, and these birds become celebrities.
Here's my favorite part. Six racing pigeons in Belgium were found to have been doped with drugs. Such as cocaine and painkillers.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
These pigeons
are snorting coke before they fly.
People are bad.
People are terrible.
But they're pigeons.
Yeah, yes. But you don't want to force drugs on them.
They can't enjoy that,
but they sure fly fast.
They really fly fast.
We asked producer Dave, could you please line somebody up for us that we could talk to who's into the Belgian pigeon racing? And I believe we have a spokesperson on the phone with us right now. Hello there.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing?
this is the pigeon, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm one of the pigeons.
Yeah.
My name is Walter.
Walter. Hi, Walter.
Walter.
How long have you been racing?
I don't know, man. I feel like I've been racing for years, man.
Walter?
How's it going? Racing for years, right, man?
Okay,
right?
Walter,
right?
calm down. Steady, okay. Steady, son. All right. Oh, no more. You don't need any more.
What do you got? You got a question? What do you got? Hey, what do you got?
Yes.
What do you got? You got a question? You got a question for me? You got a question? What do you got?
So you and the other five pigeons that were found.
Yeah, six of them, but plus me. I'm one.
Right,
I'm one, and
right.
The other guys are five. Five plus one is six.
And
six
you're
pigeons.
And you're all doing the cocaine?
What? No, man. Why do you say that? We're not doing cocaine, man. I don't know. You know. How about innocent until proven guilty, huh, man? How about some testing?
We'll take a little test and then
see if we're doing that cocaine. You know, you just go around just pointing fingers at people that that guy's doing cocaine. You can't just say that,
hey,
man.
Walter?
You gotta know if somebody's doing cocaine or not. You gotta take him. You gotta do it.
Hey, Walter.
I gotta get your analysis. A blood test and other people just point at me and say, pigeons on cocaine. What do you know?
Hey, Walter.
They
tested your blood.
What do you got?
They actually tested your blood. You have cocaine in it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you're right. How about the chain of evidence, man? How about the chain of evidence?
How about
when the blood comes from me and then I don't know where it goes. It goes right to the lab. Does somebody go in between? How does it get there? How does it get from me to the lab? How does it get there, man?
What's your record? Walter, what's your record in racing?
What?
What's your record?
I'm unbeaten, man. I'm like 27-0, man. Yeah. 27-0. Whoa, what do you got?
Walter, you got to put it down, man. You're going to die. Your heart's going to explode.
Hey, don't worry about my heart. Worry about your heart, man. What are you, some sort of cardiologist? Oh, put me on a treadmill. Give me a test. I don't care. Test me. I don't write. Put me on the thing. Are you going to take an exam in me or something? You're some sort of pigeon doctor? What do you got, some sort of degree in pigeon physiology or something?
Yes,
what do you know about pigeons?
We are pigeon doctors.
Are you really? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I should have known that, but we're talking all about pigeons and stuff. I'm a pigeon. I may know a little bit more pigeons than you do. Do you have wings? Do you have feathers? No. Do you have a beak? No, man. You don't got one.
I think we should let Walter go before.
What do you got? Come on. What do you got?
Walter, you need to lie down. Seriously, take a nap.
That's the last thing I'm going to do is lie down. No way I'm lying down. I'm flying, baby. I'm flying for me. I'm flying to there. I'm flying to your house. I'm flying to my house.
Wow.
I'll fly anywhere. Okay. I'm flying all day, baby. Okay. Can't keep me down.
Right.
Skies are for birds, man.
All right. You have a long season ahead of you, Kevin, because Dave already started tweeting yesterday, again this year, that the Laker era is over.
Oh, I know. He's been saying that forever.
And eventually, maybe one day he'll be right. Dave, of course, is a big-time, long-time Clippers fan.
If you don't mind me butting in, Bean.
Yes, please. Dave,
we do mind. We do mind.
Dave is a Laker hater. It's where this all started. Nope. He hated the Lakers, and so he said, wow, who else could I be a fan of? And then he became a fan of the Clippers.
If it was just because I was Laker hating, I would be a Heat fan or a Boston fan or someone who's winning,
that's
like
a
the
good
Spurs.
Point.
So we have a bet every single year between Lakers and Clippers, and I've won, I don't know.
Lots.
Most of Dave's money. Most of the money that Dave owns in the world, I've won in Laker-Clipper
bets. 12 years in a row, you've won that bet.
Yeah, but every year we do the same thing. We do best record, who goes further in the playoffs, the whole thing. And, of course, the Clippers now have put together a great team. And it looks like perhaps it's going to be a long season for the Lakers. And that makes Dave very, very happy.
It does. It does bring
me joy.
So,
Dave, what was the plan? Tuesday night was the opener for the season for both teams playing against each other at Staples Center. It was a Laker home game. And you decided to go down and do what?
Well, you know, I figure that the Lakers are going to be so bad this year. And not all Laker fans are jerks. And I've learned that while taping this. So I figured this would be a good time to recruit some Laker fans to come over to the Clipper Nation and enjoy this season with us. Not everyone in Los Angeles should be sad this year. So let's all join together and have fun.
You decided to go down outside Staples Center and try to talk people into changing allegiances.
Yes.
And this is how that began.
Hey, it's Dave the King of Mexico. I'm here at the beautiful Staples Center. It's opening night, Lakers versus Clippers. I'm about to ask some fans, see how the teams are going to do. Nope.
Hang on.
I'm going to talk to some fans and try to get some predictions from them, see how they do. Nope.
So that's
I'm thinking out loud, all right?
That's
thinking
how it
out loud.
Started. Now, we're not able to play all of it. It's much longer on the website. There's the video up there. But here's the longest question ever. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bean, but you tell me, is Dave talking to a fan of the Lakers or a homeless guy?
Okay.
At the end of the clip, after a 9-minute question, you tell me.
The Lakers aren't going to be winning this year very much. So how about you become a Clipper fan, man? Just for this year only. Try it out. We'll give you a test. Root for a good team this year. And then, you know what? If you don't like it, then you go back to being a Laker fan. If not, stay with the Clippers. Championship all the way.
In a way, you know, sometimes, you know, change is good, but, you know, I'm willing to try it out. You know, I've been to a few Clipper games. Mm-hmm. You know, not to put the Lakers down, but, you know, to see what happens. You know, I know the Clippers are coming up. You know, it's your time.
Have another drink, sir.
Boom! Converted.
Dave, got converted.
Dave gave a homeless guy drugs to answer in the affirmative.
That's correct. That's exactly what happened. So he's outside of Staples Center, still trying to get people interested.
Clippers or Lakers?
Go Lakers.
Lakers all the way.
Lakers.
Yes, the correct answer is Clippers. Now, you guys are Laker fans. I see that you've been Laker fans for a while. You're used to winning. That's not going to happen this year. You guys know it. I know it. The world knows it. Charles Barkley knows it.
Another longest question in the world.
But the Clipper Nation, we welcome all, including old Laker fans, past and present. And we want to welcome you to the Clipper Nation. And we want you to root for our team, the good team, the team of Los Angeles, the blue-collar working team, the Clippers. Will you join us? Will you say, go Clippers?
Not happening.
I have to pass on that one.
No thanks.
What? You guys don't get it, man.
Do you feel that was effective?
Those guys don't get it. They'll learn. You'll see.
Clippers!
Yeah! Clippers! Clippers!
That's how that went. That's strong, right? She just goes, Lakers.
What's wrong with the Clippers?
Because, man, they try to act like they're champions of everything by covering our banners and everything, but they haven't won anything yet.
On Thursday, the Clippers, it's going to be our home game, so our banners will be up, which are just banners of our players because we support our players.
Well, we win something first, and then you can put some banners over covering some.
Yeah, he told you.
Yeah.
You talked to Rudy.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Dave, not having so much luck, but still trying hard to bring some people over into Clipper Nation.
Welcome to Clipper Nation. Enjoy the season, everybody. Go Clippers. Go Clippers. Welcome to Clipper Nation. The future is now. The future is now. No.
And finally, a story that didn't have a lot of audio, but tell me about the woman that you tried to put a Clipper hat on.
Well, you know, I was approaching people and I was like, hey, do you want to become a Clipper fan? And she starts screaming about, no, F this, F that, F the Clippers. And so me being me, I get my hat and try to put it on her head. And she turns around and goes, get that effing hat off me. Don't touch me. I will cut you. And I was like, whoa. So I proceed to, of course, you know, try to give her a hug and make it peaceful. Nope. This lady had none of it. You could see on the video how crazy she is. You could tell who it is. And she had no time for me or the Clippers or anything. Nothing about, like, okay, let's just have a good game. Then I was trying to give her a high five. Like, all right, have a good game tonight.
No, she made the right move.
Oh, my gosh. She wanted
to kill
me. She
made the right call. She should have cut you. Well done. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Nope. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Nope. At 8:39. Correct me if I'm wrong, but check your calendars. I believe it's Halloween.
Nope.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Ooh, 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 ooh. You. You.
Hit it. Halloween spooks outside my window.
No.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
No. No.
I wish that the children could see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Oh, my God, no way.
Now, Halloween spooks, you guys.
No way.
Probably the best of all Halloween songs. But if there's anything that's in the... All right,
Ralph. Nonsense.
What Ralph's doing makes perfect sense with this nonsense song. If there's anything that's in the running as a contender to the crowd for the greatest Halloween song ever, it has to be the Monster Mash, right? You guys have to agree that the Monster Mash still holds up. After 50 years, it's still awesome.
Has it been? Is it 50 years since they did that song?
1962.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say Monster Mash is the biggest, yes, Halloween song, no?
Yes.
No, I think, yes, it is. I agree.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
Now let me ask you,
it's all
playing a song.
He did
the Monster Mash.
Yes, you hate all things old.
I don't hate
how
that.
How about the Monster Mash?
I like
Does
the
that
Monster
hold
Mash.
Up for you?
I'm,
oh, really?
So glad to hear that, Kevin, that you don't hate the Monster Mash.
From the Atari in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast.
Remember how this was all about Halloween and,
yes,
monsters and all that?
Yeah,
that?
Vampires, yeah, and werewolves.
Classic. Do you remember the Climate Mash?
The what now?
The Climate Mash.
So what's that?
Do you remember that? This is Bobby Boris Pickett, the same guy that did the Monster Mash, who decided it was time to join Al Gore and talk about...
To make a socio-political comment,
yes,
with the Monster Mash about,
yes,
climate change?
Yes, and it's called the Climate Mash. This is real as well.
We were hiking past the White House late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. The president appeared with folks very strange, the zombies and vampires of global climate change.
Come on.
Kind of takes some,
Bobby,
of the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Zombies of climate change.
Talk about a force. Just jamming that in there.
So this was 2005, apparently, where a very old Bobby Boris Pickett was hanging on to the Monster Mash and making the Climate Mash. Let's hear some more of this.
It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies, let the president rest. Behind his own protective levees. They're doing the climate mash.
The climate mash.
Real science is bad.
The climate mash.
Solutions are tried.
The climate mash.
And they do it for the cash.
Yeah, go, Bobby. You tell it. Speak to the man.
That exists.
The oil executives were in their offices making lots of money.
Stop it. Do you think any song has been less effective at what it's trying to do?
I was talking to a research team at Caltech. They showed me all the science behind everything that was happening with the climate.
I love the lyrics so much about claims from industry heavies let the president rest behind his own protective levy.
Come on.
He sort of forced it there and off meter.
Terrible.
Who wants to hear more? Disaster ruined the Gulf when they had a problem stemming the flow of oil that was coming from that tank when it ruptured when that oil rig had that problem. How did they close it? They couldn't with a zombie or a witch.
Who wants to hear
I do.
More of the climate map?
The creatures were having fun. Our Congress was ever wrong. We couldn't tell the mindless zombies from the elected one. Now we can stop this. We have the technology. But first we have to get past industry ideology.
Got a point, man.
We have to get past industry ideology.
We need your help. I'm glad to show you how. Tell your leaders in Washington to save our climate now.
You're doing a heck of a job, zombie. Hey, the snow melted. Great. So we can drill over here. Yeehaw. And here. And here. And here!
See, that's President George W. Bush.
And he is just drilling in all those natural resources areas.
How good is that song?
Except for that one, except for a couple zombie comments, really doesn't have anything to do with the Monster Mash. I know that much.
That's real talk right there.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's going to be in the studio. Stuart.
Wow. That was sweet.
That was a moment with Bean.
Bam. Hey, Stan the Man Lee. I don't know, guy who created, Iron Man and Hulk and the X-Men.
Two. He's invited two superheroes. Great. Big deal.
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Done them all.
Fantastic.
He'll be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour like he do here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph has the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Speaking of moments with, I think we need to address this.
Uh-oh.
A rare apology may be in order regarding moments with. Listener sent me an email and we checked it up. Do we have the email? Can you have access to Moments With pretty readily there, Beer Mug?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Can you play the Kevin moment with where he talks about being perfectionistic?
Oh, yes.
Can you pull that up for me? Can you make that happen?
Oh, that was with AFI in studio, if
yeah,
I recall.
Yeah, talk about their fastidious ways of recording music.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Oh, you're more perfectionistic about what you're doing? And
yeah, essentially.
Do you guys think that perfectionistic is a word?
Nope.
That was a moment with Kevin.
It was brought to my attention this week, and I am sad to have to admit this, but...
is it a word?
Perfectionistic, apparently, yes, very much a word.
Really?
You know, my instinct is just to... If Bean calls me on it, I doubt myself and go, yeah, you're right.
Perfectionistic is a word.
Thank you.
Used Bean? By people.
I was tipped off to that as well. It is a propensity for being displeased with anything that is not perfect or does not meet extremely high standards.
Hmm.
So if Kevin is going to admit to us that he knew that and was using that word on purpose and intentionally, that I will rescind
that
the
was,
with.
That
was the intent of what he was saying.
It was the intent.
I think you had to give it to him. Point Kevin.
I think we may have to take that one out of rotation.
Wow.
Sounds like Kevin wins.
All right.
Sounds like Kevin wins.
You did it, Kevin.
That is the first time in 7,000 moments with.
Needs
it.
To be deleted.
Got reversed. Yep. Time for the show business.
We got to take that back.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, listener.
Yeah.
A-holes are usually the ones tipping you off that I screw up.
Yeah, I know. There's one on your side.
The refs were under the hood, and I was like, why are they wasting time? It's so clear that that was a flag.
After review, the moment with Kevin is overturned. Ball will be placed on the 20-yard line. How I Met Your Mother, big hit for CBS. What do you do if you're CBS? And your hit comedy is in its ninth and final season. You got to say goodbye to the lovely Allison Hannigan and Neil Patrick Harris and Jason Segel and all your big stars that make that TV show such a smash hit. What do? You panic, right? If CBS, you panic.
You try to find whatever's next. Sure.
How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Mother. How do we? How I Met Your Father.
Yay!
Yeah. Wait, and then other people agreed?
Yeah.
Okay.
A spin-off series reportedly centered in a group of friends living in New York and one woman's quest to meet her future husband is in the works.
None of the original cast members are headed to the new series. This will be a reboot, if you will.
Nor do they plan to watch it.
It's been going forever.
Yeah.
Uncle, cousin.
That show's been up for 9 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's something. Good for those people. Jennifer Lopez is tired of her boyfriend, according to In Touch magazine. Casper Smart. She's still dating that Casper Smart. He was her backup dancer.
Yeah.
On one of her tours. And they've been together for a couple years now. She says now that she is tired of being his meal ticket and is even more tired of the way he just follows her around everywhere. She feels smothered and wants her independence back. Now you know. Oh, I've been so good if I can remember her ex-husband's name. Anthony.
Mark Anthony?
Mark Wiener. Anthony.
Anthony Wiener.
Anthony Wiener. Now you know Anthony Wiener felt. I don't think that joke worked.
No.
I heard this Casper Smart is a real douche, by the way, too.
Really?
Like, he orders her staff around and everything because he's the boyfriend. He gets to lord over the people who are just...
He needs to go.
...working at the pleasure of Jennifer Lopez, and so...
What a dumb douchebag.
You know, I'm surprised that she even has time for a boyfriend, really, in her life, given the fact that she's just always touring. She is she's an actress. She's a recording artist. She her schedule must be so packed, wall to wall, with things that professional commitments she needs to make, demands on her time from people both professionally and personally. And I thought, how does she have time to foster a relationship with anyone?
And what'd you come up with?
Well, I realized being that there's always room for J-Lo.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
That felt good getting that one out, huh?
Been a while.
Dustin Hoffman's going to make a new movie. He'll star as the head of a boys' choir at a boarding school. And he meets an angry 11-year-old from the wrong side of the tracks who he recognizes talent in and convinces him to join the choir. The name of the movie will be called Boy Choir. Dustin, can we have a word? Can you sit down?
I know he's a great actor,
he is
right?
He's one of the best.
He's one of the best.
Now, by all accounts, just a sweetheart of a man.
Right.
But maybe Boy Choir isn't the project.
That's a working title, though.
No, they won't Boy Choir.
Stick with that.
It is called
they?
Boy Choir.
even with the history of. Oh.
Boy Choir.
Mm. Not a good
I saw
choice.
Bean carrying on a DVD called Boy Choir.
Did
once.
You? Nope.
I don't know if that's. Maybe it's a.
Probably different.
A remake of that movie or not, but. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress, singer, force of nature, Willow Smith is 13 years old today. I'm looking forward to her comeback.
I'm not.
Eddie K. Thomas is 33 years old today. Piper Perabo, she is 37 years old. Rob Van Winkle, better known as Vanilla Ice, celebrates his 35th birthday.
That existed.
Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys is 47. Here's another one. We were talking about Robin Thicke trying to get away with not paying the Marvin Gaye estate for sampling. Got to give it up.
Right.
Remember when Vanilla Ice released that song and said, oh, no, it's nothing like Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
Had nothing to do with it.
They go, bim, 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 bim. My song goes, bim, 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 bim. Douche. Mike O'Malley, the actor, is 48 years old. Rob Schneider is 49. Dermot Mulroney, another talented actor, is 50. Larry Mullen, drummer of U2, is 52 years old today. Director Peter Jackson celebrates his 52nd birthday. You seen the trailer for that next Hobbit movie?
Yes.
It looks good.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, the Wallet of Smeagol or something, or whatever
I don't
it's called.
Know what it's called. I'm sure it's not that, though.
Schmoly's Cash House. I forget what the name of it is, but it looks good.
I wish it was either of those.
Schmoly's Bank Account.
That's it.
Yeah. Ron Rifkin is 75 years old today, and Anchorman Dan Rather is 82.
Courage.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Talking about the great Stan Lee a few moments ago with Ralph, you know, creator of the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and Iron Man and Hulk and the X-Men and hundreds of other characters. I'm starting to think that Stan has a superpower, too, and it is immortality because Mr. Lee turns 91 later this year and is working harder than ever before. We welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hi, Stan.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's good to be back.
Always
my
a pleasure.
My superpower is I'm great at phone interviews.
You're sharp.
You are so lucky to have me.
You're so much sharper than I am. Congratulations. So, Stan, how many years has the Kamikaze been going on down at the convention center?
Well, this is our third year. This is the big one. Kamikaze has suddenly found its niche here in Los Angeles, and the whole city is talking about it.
Well,
it's
I will
you
tell you
hear about wherever you go. You order a cup of coffee somewhere, they say, "Let me tell you about Kamikaze."
It does seem like it gets way bigger every year, and I know that you have lots of special guests, some of which we don't even know about. They're going to be making an appearance at the
some
convention
of them,
center.
I don't
this
even
weekend.
Know who they are.
Sweet. Right, exactly. But Elvira is going to be there. Bruce Campbell, who we had on with us yesterday talking about the show.
Oh, great. He's a Edward terrific guy.
He's great. Edward Jade's almost. Alyssa Milano, who's joining us tomorrow, is going to be on the program. The list just goes on and on and on. And, of course, you'll be roaming the halls all weekend long
yeah,
as well,
you
right,
you can't
Sam?
Win them all. There has to be one guy you want to avoid.
What will you be doing specifically?
As you said, roaming the halls. I'll be on a few panels, and I'll be talking with guests, and I'll be talking with the people who come there and the invited guests, and I'll be generally making a fool of myself like I usually do.
Sweet.
Now, Stan, tell us about this Marvel collection that you hold that you are going to have on display at the convention center.
This is probably the largest assemblage of Marvel artifacts from the movies that have ever been put together. And I think that the people going there would really enjoy seeing this. I know I enjoy seeing it, and I'm a very typical person. Whatever I like, everybody likes.
You don't seem typical to me.
What kinds of things, like what are your prized possessions in that collection, Stan?
Well, some of the armor, bits of armor from Iron Man. And I don't want to give it away because I want people to be surprised. See, that's what I say to you in the interview. Basically, I can't remember what the other things are.
Sweet.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, one of our listeners wrote in this morning, Timothy says, when you have Mr. Lee on talking about his Kamikaze, please ask, will he be fair to DC World at the convention center, or is everything going to be Marvel?
Oh, I'm afraid most of the things will be Marvel. There's no reason for us to do anything about D.C. Let them have their own convention. come to think of it, this isn't even a Marvel convention. This is a POW entertainment convention.
But, right.
But we feature most things Marvel because, as you may have suspected, I've been involved with Marvel for a
sure.
little bit of time.
Sure. Huh. Never would have picked that up from your bio.
And speaking of D.C., though, you guys have a lot of influence. Can't you talk them into wising up and giving me a cameo in their next movie? Just think how people, they wouldn't believe it. We've got to go to see the next Batman movie. I hear Stan Lee is in it.
And
they
that
would do a fortune in sales.
Now, why isn't that happening? That normally
because they don't think ahead. They're not Marvel. They're not good thinkers.
Now, Stan, how many movie cameos have you done for Marvel so far?
Oh, gosh, I can't count them. More than a dozen.
Right, I was going to say about a dozen.
Maybe.
Right. So the problem is that DC doesn't like to cross streams and even acknowledge that Marvel exists. So they're really shooting themselves in the foot because all movie fans want to see Stan Lee up on the big screen. You ought to have a cameo in every movie.
Oh, did I tell you the financial reason that I do the cameos?
No.
I don't know if you have enough time. I'll make it short.
Okay.
But what happens is my cameos are very brief. So somebody might bend down to get popcorn or turn to talk to the and miss my cameo.
Right.
Well, what do you do if you miss my cameo? You run to the box office, you buy another ticket.
Another seat,
you're not
sure.
going to leave the theater without seeing the cameo. So I am responsible for at least 50% of all the money that's been made.
I like your math. I like the way you're figuring that out.
Yeah, I Stan, do live in my own dream world.
Does it go without saying that we will be seeing you next weekend in Thor: The Dark World?
Yes, you will. And I believe it or not, A, I was told I mustn't mention what the cameo is, but B, I don't remember what the damn thing is. I can't
yeah,
wait to
you're
see
at
it
that
myself.
Point. This is the voice of the great Stan Lee. We're talking about Stan Lee's Kamikaze, which is going on all weekend long at the Los Angeles Convention Center, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can get tickets at KamikazeExpo.com. I saw a couple of episodes of that TV show that you have on the air right now, Stan. Those kids that moved to Hollywood or trying to get into the comic book business and
oh,
they all
that's right. That'll be part of the convention also.
And I was going to ask, now that comic books are bigger than they've ever been at any point in your lifetime, mm-hmm. are you running into just thousands of kids everywhere you go who are dying now to get into the industry?
Millions might be. be a bit offensive. But you see what happened? It's really the movies that have done it for comics. I mean, people see these movies, they're so great, and then they want to turn and say, where did these stories come from? And then they discover the comic books. So one hand washes the other. As long as we can do great movies, the comics will do well. As long as the comics can turn out great characters, the movies will do well. As long as I can talk to Kevin and Bean, I'm doing well.
Now, back in the day when you started with comic books, though, I mean, you had to talk your way in the door and convince an editor to give you a shot. These days, thanks to the beauty of, you know, the DIY of the internet, any kid in his bedroom can write a comic book that can develop a huge following just by putting it up online, right?
Oh, you're right. We live in the most miraculous time. Anybody can do anything if they can work a computer. You can have your own business. You can create your own magazine. Yep. It's fantastic.
People are making movies.
When I was younger.
Yeah. Well, imagine your career if you had these opportunities when you were 10, 12.
Oh, man. You might have made it. I might have been somebody today.
You know?
All right, before we let you go, Mr. Lee, is there any...
Call me Stan for crying out loud.
Bean. All right, Stan for crying out loud. Are there ever any thoughts of retiring for you? You're going to be 91 this Christmas. Will you ever stop?
You know, I thought you weren't allowed to use obscene language on the radio.
Was it stop or 91?
Retire.
Retire, okay.
How retire from what? I'm having fun. You know, most people, when they work, they say, I can't wait to retire. I can do then all the things I want to do. I can play golf. I can go traveling. I'm doing what I want to do. How can you do better than talking to Kevin and Bean?
Well.
And by the way, where is, what's your name, Sarah?
No, Lisa. Yeah, Sarah's here.
I'm just respecting all of you.
Because I was told that Lisa May would be there.
She's here.
I end up talking to the guys. To the girls.
Well, you should be very disappointed.
Stan, you've got incredible game.
She's here.
She is. Listen, goes without saying that you are a legend, and it goes without saying that you are. It's a joy every time we have the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you. We've been lucky enough to meet you a few times over the year, and it's always fun to catch up with you. And we wish you nothing but good times at the convention this weekend, sir.
Thanks. I and the entire Hordes of POW. Thank you for that.
There you go.
It was great talking to you, and it always is.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, Bellator. I am Bellator from the planet Mepscom. Bow before me. I am Bellator.
No, this isn't another comic book superhero. Oh, this is the MMA wrestling is what we're talking about, the fighting.
Oh. Why'd they give these to me to give away then? I figured it had to be a superhero if it was Bellator.
We ran out of time. We were supposed to do it earlier.
I got you. I was going to go as Bellator to my Halloween party tonight. I guess I won't now. I thought he was a cool new superhero. No, of course, Bellator MMA is happening this Saturday, November the 2nd, at the Long Beach Arena. Would you like to attend? Why wouldn't you? Well, here's what you get. You get a pair of tickets to the Bellator MMA Live. Big fight. Saturday night is the long-awaited rematch between Michael Chandler and Eddie Alvarez, so that should be a pretty good battle. Pat Curran's also fighting Emmanuel Newton.
Bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang,
bang, bang,
bang, bang.
Tickets on sale at the box office at Bellator.com and Ticketmaster.com, but if you're one of the first four callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of tickets to see Bellator live this Saturday at the Long Beach Arena.
Bang, bang, bang,
bang,
bang,
bang,
bang,
bang,
bang,
bang,
bang.
That happened in an actual fight.
You remember how you celebrated your 18th birthday? Anybody? Anybody? Any memories flash into your head? I think I had a party. There was about 10 of us in my basement. I think it was pizza.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, somebody snuck in a six-pack of Genesee Cream Ale, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yum, yum.
We had a little.
You had some lame friends.
We had a couple snorts of, or maybe it was Mickey Widemouth. I can't remember what we had, but we had some malt liquor, I think.
Sure.
Or some ale or something. But it was a nice time.
Why do you bring it up?
Well, because Kendall Jenner, of the Jenner Kardashian clan, she just celebrated her 18th birthday. Her parents rented out Six Flags. Magic Mountain.
The theme park?
In Valencia.
The whole park?
The entire theme park was rented out for Kendall Jenner's 18th birthday.
Not just a big meeting room, conference room of some kind?
No, no.
The whole park.
The entire amusement park was rented out.
Huh.
Because, you know, you can't celebrate amongst the plebeians. You can't celebrate amongst the unwashed. You must cleanse an entire theme park of the of the regular folks in order to celebrate and enjoy yourself. And then Kendall, of course, got airtight afterwards. So
that's right. I didn't realize that was part of it.
Oh, sure.
That's how
airtight.
That's how they celebrate. Her new video, Fistful of Kendall, will be hitting adult film stores this weekend, we hope.
Airtight.
Speaking of...
We can finally make these jokes.
Speaking of siblings of the rich and famous Ali Lohans in the news... I guess her modeling career isn't taking off the way she expected. Turns out no one wants a scary-faced, red-headed skeleton to put their clothes on. So now she's got a new career. The 19-year-old is recording a brand-new album. She says it will sound like Miley Cyrus meets Lana Del Rey.
Her saying that and that happening are two completely different
things. Not them singing like them. It's just when they met. They said, hi, how you doing? Good. Can I get you a Pellegrino? Yeah, sure. Do you have anything flavored? I think I have some, I think I got some vitamin water. Yeah, I'll take that. That's what it's going to sound like. It's like, that's what happened when they met. Here's a surprise. Dina Lohan is going to be her manager of her musical career. I know. It's unlike Dina to get involved in her kids' affairs.
Wow.
Usually she's very laissez-faire when it comes to, their professional lives. But for some reason, Dina Lohan will be involving herself in Ali's musical career.
Surprised Kris Jenner didn't try and weasel in on that action.
I'm surprised they just didn't go to the Ark Music Factory and just have Ali Lohan sing a song about not eating Chinese food. Anorexia.
I should eat much more.
Yeah. They wanted to do that, but unfortunately, there's no food that Ali likes. So there's no way to get her to sing a song about it. And Lou Reed, I'm still mourning the passing of Lou Reed. I know Kevin is too. Kevin was a big Lou Reed fan.
Wow. Well,
the more I read this week about Lou Reed's accomplishments and what he meant to music and how pretty much punk rock and grunge rock and everything we hold near and dear sort of came out of the Velvet Underground and his work in the late 60s, the more I read about it, the more I just said, I want to punch Kevin right in the head.
How many times a day do you have that thought?
Pretty often. Mm-hmm. Even the Vatican paid homage to the late, great Lou Reed. Gianfranco Cardinal Ravisi, the Vatican's cultural minister, tweeted out a tribute to Lou with lyrics from his song, A Perfect Day. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. Unfortunately, the Cardinal did not realize that when Lou Reed wrote that song, the U is heroin. Lou Reed wrote about how it was a perfect day when he was able to shoot up heroin into his arm and spend the day just whacked out of his gourd on H.
Wouldn't it be awesome to have a camera on that cardinal when he found out?
Hey, what's the matter, you? Nobody telling me that you is heroin.
And how quickly he tried to take that down.
Boy, is it my face ahead. Now how do I get out of this? Hours later, the tweet had mysteriously disappeared and was not replaced. So,
by the way, when you start thinking about all the heroin that Lou Reed did, we shouldn't be surprised he died at 71, right?
71's a pretty good lifespan for a heroin addict.
Yeah.
I mean, he did clean up his act in the 80s. He got clean and sober. He stopped doing drugs, booze, everything. He cleaned up his act.
But still needed a liver transplant.
But the damage between 62 and 82... was pretty significant.
Right.
Even in spite of the transplant, apparently he did die of complications.
Oh, really?
Due to liver disease, yeah. So. Today's celebrity birthdays, anchorman Dan Rather from CBS for many, many years. He is 82 years old today.
Courage.
Actor Ron Rifkin, who I always remember. He's done a ton of stuff, but I always remember him as Arvin Sloan from Alien.
How much did you hate Sloan when that show was on the air?
Remember?
He was awesome.
Remember that show would take you back and forth? Like, you would hate him, and then he would do something nice, and you thought, oh, maybe he's on our side, and then flip it again, and then flip it again, and then it was her dad was the bad guy, and her dad was the good guy. Boy, that show just toyed with our emotions, didn't
it? Good series.
He's 75 years old today. Director Peter Jackson
is 52. Larry Mullen, drummer from U2, is 52 as well. Johnny Marr, guitarist from Modest Mouse and the Smiths, is 50. Dermot Mulroney, also 50 today. Rob Schneider celebrates his 49th birthday. Mike O'Malley, the actor, is 48. Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys is 47. Piper Perabo is 37 years old today. Willow Smith turns 13. Vanilla Ice is 45. But the reason we celebrate the day, Lynn Berggren, Ace of Base.
All that she wants, yeah, is another baby. Mm-hmm. She's gone tomorrow, but all that she wants is another baby. Yeah.
Thanks to Omar for the flute solo.
Part of the remix.
That song, of course, was about the Duggars. She wrote that about the Duggars.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
All she wants is another baby.
They're 21 kids?
They've had a lot of kids. That's my point. There was a whole rash of bands in the 80s with, like, hot foreign lead singers.
Yeah.
That was one of them. What was the other one that did that Top Gun song, Take My Breath Away?
Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin. There was another one. Wasn't another one with a blonde, like a short-haired, blonde-haired girl duo?
Roxette.
Yeah, you got the look.
That's right.
Just a bunch of smoking hot chicks making music in the 80s. And now what we got? Now we got Chinese food.
Yeah, that's right. You have 13
Ali Lohan.
And Ali Lohan. Sad. Sad times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Cousin Sal on to tell you how to lose more money on the NFL.
He's so good at that, man.
He is not really good at it.
He's good at telling you how to lose.
Oh, the losing part? Yeah, he's good
at that. Yeah, yeah. Movie beat, because it's Friday. We have more tickets for Thor, The Dark World.
Thor!
We have Alyssa Milano.
Come on.
All new Bean's Death Corner. And we go out with the great Rodney Bigenheimer.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, Carol Q. I'm out of here. Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. I doubt it. Never get sleep where I live. I'm a robot. But anyway, I'm out of here, and hopefully everything will work out, and be safe and sane on Halloween, and remember, don't eat those apples with the razor blades in them.
Right. Wait, don't? I got to make a note. I was looking forward to razor apples tonight.
Identify those, and then don't eat
don't
them.
Eat the razor apples.
You had it backwards.
But the straight pin Snickers, just chow down on those.
Get on, enjoy.